Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Hello and welcome to the program, UFO Warning. In this episode, we're talking about the angry abductee. That's correct, the angry abductee. Of course, we're talking about alien abduction here and some of the really strange and disturbing things that happen with these cases. This article's from UFODigest.com, UFODigest.com. Now, we've been doing a couple articles on this author. His name's Chris Hawley, and the article's written clear back in July 19th, 2010. But this author has done some, I think, it's just spectacular work, outstanding reporting. The title says, The Angry Abductee, the Last Member of the Abductee Group. And they start off by saying, by now, many of you are aware I have been writing about the four real-time abductees that I was fortunate enough to spend time with this summer. By real-time, I am referring to lost-time abduction cases that take place when the people being abducted are fully awake. The real-time abductions take place while they are going about their daily life, when without permission they are taken against their will. Now remember, 2010, I think 2008 or 2009 was when the first Apple phone came out with a really nice camera on it. So when people talk about, well, why don't they get evidence for this and that, remember, this has been 14 years ago. He goes on down the article and says, I do not interview or write about abductions that take place in a sleep state or while in a trance or encounters that involve telepathic communications. My main interest concerns real-time abduction cases. So he's talking about people that are just going along, doing their daily thing, they're wide awake, and boom, they're abducted. To my mind, it'd have to be the worst kind. The four real-time abductees I recently spent time with consisted of three women and one man. They ranged in age from 44 to the mid-60s. The four people are from the eastern coastal area of the United States. All of them have had multiple events of lost time abduction spanning over their lifetime. I have previously written articles about three of the abductees. This article will be about the last of the four, a woman abductee. This woman is in her late 50s. She is a typical woman of her age, with a family and life similar to many women of her generation. To meet this woman, you would not notice anything different about her, not at first glance. She appears normal in almost every way. She has learned how to blend into a crowd. She has long blonde curly hair that never seems to find a comb, loves her jeans and t-shirts, and walks around lost in her own daily routine like everyone else. You may notice that in public, no matter how hot it may be, she will be wearing her jeans or long pants. If the heat is extreme, you will find her in gauze pants or long flowing sundresses, but never shorts. Only those close to her have seen her as she exists. Shorts and swimsuits are reserved for the privacy of her home only. The reason for her choice of fashion is due to the abnormal skin condition on her legs from the knee down. She long ago learned to forgo the stare of strangers at her odd appearance. She is careful of the sun as well, as she can only tolerate it for about 20 minutes at a time before burning or feeling pain all over her skin. Like the other abductees, she suffers from the sunlight and is blinded by it. She cannot be outside without dark sunglasses. She has tinted windows in her vehicles and lives on a heavily shaded property filled with huge trees and large shade umbrellas. Now that's interesting. They have this kind of aversion to the sun, or some kind of almost like an allergy to it. This woman has learned to adapt her life to fit her conditions. Her house is securely hidden from her neighbors. Her pool is tucked beneath heavy shade trees, and her deck is covered. She manages to live a normal life despite her special needs. She is surrounded by family and friends and does not live alone. This woman is grateful she has the ability to provide this life and is fully aware others are not as lucky. She lives in a secluded area with lots of land around her home. She keeps to herself, living her life with her family and a selected handful of friends. She is friendly and happy and hides her secrets well. She's careful who she spends time with, which limits her relationships. So we're getting a picture of somebody who is somewhat isolated, even though she does have these, you know, different family relationships and friends. Goes on and says, this woman has endured strange events. She has diluted memories from her childhood, but can recall being returned down from a long funnel of a neon green light as early as age 3. She has had lost time events all of her life. She remembers little of her childhood events other than strange rays of light or suddenly feeling lightheaded with little recall of what took place until she would find hours had passed and she was late to dinner without a reason why or an explanation of where she had been. So even since she's been a little kid, she's been having these abductions happen where she has this lost time that must have just been really traumatizing for a small child. She recalls often feeling confused on what took place during her day as a child. Her family considered the events a willful child who simply did not want to stop what she was doing and went off and returned home late for dinner. When she could not explain cuts and bruises on her body, she would be punished for not telling the truth about where she had been. She had a difficult childhood, I can imagine. She remembers complaining about dreadful pains in her legs as a child. The pain would be so severe, she would lay on the floor and cry. Her parents gave her aspirin and hot bath and thought little of it. You're getting a picture here of this little kid being abducted by these aliens. And I don't see these aliens being here, as I always say, to sit around the campfire and sing Kumbaya. They're taking a little kid against their will and doing hurtful things to him. Now, if a person does that, we put him in prison and throw away the key, rightfully so. So why do people want to give these aliens the benefit of the doubt and tell us how awesome and cool they are when they're doing stuff like this? It says her encounters changed at age 13 when she and a group of teens had a clear sighting of a UFO that flew over the town where she lived on Long Island. The year was 1964, and the UFO sighting was seen by others as well as a group of teens who lived in her town. The sighting was also an abduction case, as the group of teens who reported it even had a time loss of 3 hours that they could not explain. Oh man, so you got a group of kids report this UFO, they've got 3 hours lost time, tells me they've been abducted, and you know, yet we don't want to hear anything about it. This woman continued having strange encounters with odd, bright, colored orbs and strange lost time events in her entire life. She considers her life one filled with strangeness she cannot explain. That's another thing with these orbs. Sometimes it's almost like these things are scouts set out to just to check out what's going on. I think they're really a serious consideration. The events continued into her late 40s. At that point, she became determined to stop the events and went about changing her lifestyle, making it difficult to be taken. She avoids the type of situation that makes abduction encounters possible, as well as demanding that her abductors leave her alone. She recalls one event in the early 90s when she found she was alone in a wooded area. She was on her way to join a group of friends and needed to cross an open field to the picnic area where they were waiting for her. As she was going about her business, she could feel the strange, dizzy sensation coming over her that she knew well and became furious. She threw her belongings on the ground and started to scream out to the empty woods around her. Enough, enough, you cannot take me. I do not want to be hurt. You have no right to take me. No more, no more. She became angry and kept yelling in a rage. No, no, no. To her amazement, her rage seemed to stop the abduction. It was the last time she had a lost time abduction experience. However, not the last time of other strange events that continued her in her life. We hear this sometimes. It does seem like with these things that if people will exert their human will, that it can stop them. And I've talked a lot of times in the program about Daryl Sims and him, the work that he's done with people where they take kind of a religious or Christian attack and rebuke these things in the name of Jesus. I don't know. Whatever works, man. That's what I would say personally. Whatever works. I've had people leave comments in the comment section. I'm surprised by the number of people that tell us that they've been abducted. To a person, they seem to say that it's not a pleasant experience. It's not something they want to repeat. So I guess my only advice would be to resist, you know, however, just not accepting it, emotionally rejecting it. spiritually rejecting it, because nothing's good happening on these things. Nothing good for the people. I don't see people come back and say, "Oh, I was cured of cancer," or, "Well, you know, my hair grew back. I had male pattern baldness, so my hair's back," or whatever. This gal here talks about a skin condition on her knees. I don't see anybody helping her, you know. So I don't see any good these things are doing. I don't see anybody coming back with plans for the car that gets 200 mile per gallon. I don't see anybody coming back with new technology or a new way of doing things or even a good recipe. They're just here to take from us, okay? They're picking up people like they're in a bag and tag program that we might do to wild animals in the forest. Totally disrespecting these people. The article goes on and says, "This woman has spent her life trying to avoid the interference of others in her life. She has found strange objects placed in her pocketbook, home, car, and yard. She learned long ago to be aware of the things around her, and if she or her family member come across odd objects in their environment that do not belong to anyone in the home, they quickly remove them, destroy, or bury them. Once they offered an object to the authorities to investigate, and were treated with insult and such ridicule that they simply bury most items far away where they can do no harm." I might also recommend the trash can. "They remain confused on who or why they have been tagged with these items over the years. They fear they may have more than one paranormal problem at hand involving the unknown. The woman and her family know if they do not get rid of the items they find, they will begin to feel ill until they do get rid of them." Almost sounds like some kind of a voodoo thing. "The strangeness has been going on for over 35 years. The abductee shares the ability to absorb knowledge quickly and has a large appetite for learning and reading, which is a common trait with the real-time abductees. She also suffers from numerous health problems that cannot be explained. She too has surgery scarring and has been told she has damage to her internal organs, yet has never had an operation. She too has exhibited the body of a woman who has had numerous pregnancies, yet only has had one child. She has had an eye color change from a gray to a very vivid bright blue, as well as other odd physical oddities she has not been able to explain." Wow. So the colors of your eyes change, and there's just no explanation for it. That's just crazy. "As the other abductees, all attempts for help or understanding in the medical community have failed, leaving her to deal with her problems without mentioning her lifelong lost time events. Most of the encounters she has endured have all started with her remembering when they begin and when they end, with little recall of the lost time in between. She has total recall for clearly seeing the UFO craft when she was a teen, and another of watching a large red orb next to her house just above the trees when she was in her 20s. The other events she has endured, she knew were coming as something odd would occur, like hearing an odd loud voice talking in a language she could not identify, followed by becoming very dizzy. The next thing she would recall would be waking up in a different location, sick and frightened." It's weird how these things, people will have these experiences where they see these aliens talking to each other in foreign languages. Numerous cases where we hear this, where people tried to speak to them in different languages. Sometimes they were ignored, sometimes they were abducted. What's going on with these things talking to each other back and forth in front of us? I mean, why would that even be necessary? Goes on and says, "As far as what took place during her time being taken away, she has only limited flashes of recall. From this limited memory, she knows that those taking her had a human form, but seemed to be wrapped in very tight skin, like protective suits that wore white, blue, gray, and collar." Also, something we hear all the time. This is kind of what was described down there in Peru a few months ago when these people were attacked by these things. "She knows they memory wiped her, as she also has many events that occurred around the time of her abductions that were going on in her life wiped as well." So she thinks they're just taking out all the memories. That would be just like what these things would do. Just put a chip on her, in her something, whatever, scanner, just eliminate a bunch of memories. They don't care if they're important memories to her. They don't care if they're memories that help make her who she is. They just want to get rid of the evidence. "If she had visited her grandmother the day before an incident, she would not be able to recall the visit either. After one particular lost time event, she endured at age 18, she seemed to have lost memory of most of her 15th year of life as well. She can clearly remember her life up until hitting the 15-year mark, and after that is a large gap in memory to what took place in her life until around the end of her 15th year. This has been an ongoing problem following most of her lost time events. This woman, abductee, feels very strongly about the direction that has been taken with the subjects concerning the UFO alien agenda. She's disgusted with the free-for-all surrounding these issues and refuses to join in with those who combine the fantasy crowd with those having real lost time encounters. We can imagine how frustrating that would be if you actually had been subjected to these very painful, very traumatic alien abductions, and then other people are kind of trying to come into the scene and get attention by just making up these crazy stories where, you know, everything is just rainbows and Kool-Aid. She feels angry at the large number of people who spend their time making up ridiculous claims about events that may fill a lonely gap in their life while doing great harm to those who are enduring difficult kidnappings, being harmed, and in turn have no place to go for help because of the fools and frauds who have made this subject a huge joke. Of all the abductees' lost time event people I have talked to, this woman is by far the most angry at society and the treatment she has endured due to ignorance, fear, and denial concerning this serious subject. This woman thinks we are completely off base on most of our thinking about the UFO subject. She hopes by telling what she and others have gone through, a new spark may ignite in the public to grasp what is real from the fantasy, bringing a new light to this subject that is presently lost in darkness. Her hope is that someday we can replace giggles for answers. She has hope one day those who have had to go it alone and suffer in silence will find compassion and help in place of disrespect and denial concerning that what they have had to endure. This woman feels those who have taken her in the past and who have interfered in her life are alien. However, she believes they work hand in hand with some fraction of the human race. That's an interesting comment. It's an interesting thought, rather, and it's one that I'm thinking about more and more. I mean, are these things in collusion with some part of our government, with some part of the deep state? I mean, look at what happens every time there's a cattle mutilation. They just shut it down. And so many other times when these negative stories come out about UFOs, they don't want to talk about it. It's like they're being shut down from the top. This woman feels her government betrayed her and has always known what was going on and why. I will be writing more about the topics discussed by this group of abductees in the articles to come. I will continue my contact with the group of abductees. If you have a question that says you can write them, I'll put the links here at the Ko-Fi and the Locals website. I think this guy does some absolute work. He gives his email here, chrishawleyufo@yahoo.com. Man, 14-year-old article, but still just as present today as it was the day it was written. Anyway, overall, great case. This poor lady's been abducted her whole life. It seems like the abductions finally stopped when she just mustered the willpower and the emotion to say, no, you can't do this to me anymore. That tells me that was whatever was happening to this woman was painful, it was traumatic, and these alien abductions are not necessarily a good thing. Until next time, this is UFO Warning, over and out.